Glad to have with us our brother Tim Clifton and look forward to hearing him as he speaks about creation.
First, before I give my talk, I'd like to add to Tom's talk yesterday. So I'm going to take more than 40 minutes, but it's neat. So let's talk about two Gospels today. I spelled Gospels wrong, I think. So let's get off there quick. Isaac Newton was perhaps the smartest scientist and you can name. He was smarter than Einstein by far. And he made this statement. He said, "He who thinks half-heartedly will not believe in God, but he who thinks has to believe in God." And he was a thinker. And he said things like, "You can't look at the heavens and not know there's a God." Now I'm just going to ask you to do that with me today. Enjoy God. It says in Exodus, not Genesis. Oh, by the way, it says it all through the Bible, but it's, "For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. And God blessed the Sabbath." So is Exodus wrong too? Is it not just the first three chapters of Genesis? Did you ever see the last gospel of the Bible? Do you know where it's at? It says everlasting gospel. Now, shut up, David. You know this. But in the book of Revelation, the churches and the glory at the throne, and then you get to chapter 14, and there's these men, Jesus, Jews, sent around to evangelize. And then three angels come, and I think the first one has the everlasting gospel. What is it? Well, it's the same as Genesis chapter 1. Amen. And when people ignore it, they're going to hell. Mm. So that's pretty serious, but let's go on. 1 Peter, and by the way, I'll read the verses here. I teach, and if you just say it, now, preaching's different, the Holy Spirit's involved. But if you just say it, you'll get 10% of your audience in terms of passing a test at the end. But if you show it, you know, double or triple that. The highest, if you want to retain 95% of what you see, teach it. That's the first way to do it. Knowing this first, that they'll come in the last day scoffers walking after their own lust and saying, "Where's the promise of his coming?" And then this next little thing, don't miss this. It says, "For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were." That's called uniformitarianism, and that's the definition of it. Mm-hmm. All things continue as they were. And there was men in Rome and Greece who mocked God. Evolution is far older than Darwin. Right. But the man 100 years before Darwin was a lawyer named Charles Lyell, and he hated God, and he wanted to because they saw a flood model. Everybody did before those old days. Or not everybody, but the standard model was, this is flood mud. Right. Well, how do you know it's flood mud? Well, did you ever see the lines when you're driving down the road? Okay, they don't erode, they're lines. Right. Put your field out for a winter and see if there's any erosion in it from rain or snow or wind. From the beginning, that's a Bible definition of evolution. And then we go to what Brother Tom was defending yesterday, the Word of God. Amen. And heaven and earth will pass, but His words won't pass. We have the words of God today. That's why I'm standing here. My brother David's been a friend of mine longer than my wife Anita. No, when I went to that Bunyan conference, were you my... Okay, forget it, I take that back. The Bible stands like a rock undaunted amidst the raging storms of time. Now, there's this verse in Amos, and I haven't heard really anybody ever preach about it, other than they pass through it in an Old Testament kind of way. And it's a prophecy. Oh, thank you. She just found a way to have a big bang. I have this laser. Where's it at, Anita? In my pocket. that's so strong that it'll burn a hole in your skin, really. And it's just a single thing. For astronomy, you can hit the moon with it. And it broke right before this talk. So instead of having a point of blue, it has that. And that's not strong enough to light a match. So how am I going to have a big bang without a laser to impress you breaking a balloon? Anita found a pin. And we're good to go. A famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of the hearing of the words of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. And that's what he talked about yesterday. There's this doctrine of substitution that Christ died for our sins and was buried and rose again the third day. You ever hear that? Yeah. Isn't that the heart and soul of the Bible? Amen. Well, who would say something like that? Anybody know that quote? It's old. 200 years, maybe, I don't know. 1800s. It's immoral and material counterfeit that Jesus is a substitution for me. The man that wrote that, I don't want to sit in his sermons. He didn't make sermons. What did he make? Yes. Oh, just be quiet. You knew everything. Here's the whole quote. The popular doctrine of substitution is an immoral and material counterfeit. Nothing can be more unscriptural than the limiting of Christ bearing our sins and suffering in his death. That man had a problem with the Bible, didn't he? But indeed, that is only one aspect of an almost universal heresy. He's calling the Christian faith a heresy. The man who wrote that was named John Anthony Hort. And he was invited to rewrite the King James and clean it up a little. And they took these Egyptian Gnostic texts and changed them thousands of times. And that's what he was showing yesterday. That's the man who made the new Bibles. Well, actually, I think Hort was the head of that duo. But let's just go on. Come on. There we go. Here's another thing. Westcott. No one now, I suppose, holds to the first three chapters of Genesis, for example, that it gives a literal history. Now, you understand there's really more than one gospel because the gospel of creation is you can see God. The word of God, you have the gospel. Christ died for our sins. But the creation of God is also a gospel. And you can be in Bongo Bongo and look up at the stars and say, God, if you're real, would you show me? And God has sent missionaries to those people. And his people will be around that throne, every kindred and tongue and tribe and nation. Because he's that big. Westcott goes on to say, I could never understand how anyone reading them with open eyes could think they did. Genesis 1 to 3, a history, which is what I'll be talking about. The pure Romish view, Westcott, seems to be nearer and more likely to lead to the truth than the evangelical. Can you believe that? And that at present find the presumption in favor of the absolute truth. I reject the word infallibility of Holy Scripture, overwhelming. That's the man who wrote the new Bibles. Go buy one if you want. They make good kindling. The floor of Notre Dame, it says this, nothing in biology. I was a biology teacher for 48 years. I love teaching. I love kids. And so I kept teaching. I wrote some courses for the college, and I was fired 2 years ago. inner city Charleston, worst school in the city, asked me to come. I would have been the fourth teacher they had that year at the sixth grade science. And I said to the principal, I'm a Christian. I'm not going to proselytize. But if they ask me, I'm going to answer. Which is legal in Pennsylvania and West Virginia. He said, oh, yeah, sure, good. Please come. And I came. And it was hard in the beginning. The black-white thing. Kids wouldn't listen to me. I had a principal come in and have a girl turn around to face me. And then you just start loving them. Love starts with sit down and listen. But the year went by, the grades started to go up. I got to witness. I've witnessed every class in public school, probably 46 years of teaching. Because I can have them ask me, Mr. Clifton, what do you think? It's as easy as taking a rock and holding it out in front of them from my chalkboard. And so we're going to study evolution now. Evolution says we all came from a rock, and that's how I say it. I've 100% in 40 whatever years. Mr. Clifton, do you really believe that? And I get to tell them how God saved me, which I'll hopefully take 5 minutes after I get his part done here. Pope, new findings lead us toward the recognition of evolution as more than a hypothesis. A hypothesis is an educated guess. Evolution isn't even that. But here the Roman Church recognizes evolution as science. And so does most of the world. And you're sitting here, a remnant. Except this guy. I don't know who he is. Looks something like me, I think. But we will not have it that God in his holy book makes mistakes about matters of history or of science any more than he does of the great truths of salvation. And that's where I stand. Anita and I went to a creation conference. What state was that? Don Padgett. We were driving home, and this man here, David Reeves, was one of the speakers, and he invited the people. If you want to know how to take stars at night, that's my hobby. And Anita went him. We went down to a bridge with a group of people, and he showed us how to shoot stars. The next day at lunch, we gave him a jar of honey. Somebody gave him a massive complex with a planetarium and halls to speak from in classrooms, free. And now he's on TV all the time, and he's worth listening to. If you want to get some truth, and he's solid, he's more like us than anybody else on TV. Brian Osborne has some of the best evolution creation talks I've ever heard, and he's from Ken Ham's outfit, Answers in Genesis. And it's worth your while maybe to listen to some of these evolution lectures, because if any of this stuff hit you as kind of true, it doesn't hurt to hear that once in a while. I fully agree with your comments. This is Darwin speaking. On the lack of evolutionary transitions in my book, if I knew of any fossil or living, I would certainly have included them. I'll lay it on the line, there is not one such fossil. That's Darwin. There's no evolution. We have to pretend there is. We have to make it up. We have to, in our minds, just throw the Bible away. I don't want you to read this. Anita yelled at me for putting all this print on the screen. But one of the smartest men in the world, I mean top 10, is James Tour, a Jewish man. He went to college and somebody witnessed to him. He got saved. You can't shut him up now. And he's still in college. He's still teaching science. But he's brilliant beyond brilliant. He's been voted in the top 10 scientists in the world 10 times at least. He's been voted the top scientist in the world 3 or 4 times. And he's still there at college today. And when he talks now, he says, here's my phone number. If you want to know about Christ, give me a call. As he's speaking to students in a college. And he's on TV. He's worth a listen, but he's above my head a lot. So I'll skip his first neat fact. And I'll take his second. There's never been discordance between scientific facts and the statements in the Bible. So there's no need to reconcile them. There's the smartest man in the world in science says there's no need to reconcile science with the Bible because there's no discordances.
Right. Right.
And that blew me out of the water. I hope you can get back in your boat right now. He goes on, so-called signs are really theories, and they're constantly changing, and just tells things that are true. And he says to you folks, he says, don't let professors with their bold claims of, quote, facts upset you. Theories are not facts. Conjectures are not facts. I love this one. I don't even need to read it to you. But I used to watch him on TV, always dreamed I could paint like him. I never even made it. But he says, let's use our imagination. What Tor just said is what he's saying. If you can take all the human ape transition fossils that are found in the world today, they all fit in one coffin. And they all even have a clear brow ridge and long snout of an ape, or the high forehead of a human. There's no in-betweens.
Right.
Let's use our imagination. So now I'm going to get to my talk today. I just want to do the Westcott and Hort stuff. That the new Bibles are based on garbage. And I don't know where I learned this from. Not from you, but we came together in it somewhere. David guided me toward this group years ago. He, in his southern drawl, Tim, there's a group down in Georgia I think you'd like. And
good try.
Three of my girls went there, and they had, as being a teacher, the best education they could possibly have gotten. All three are still teaching. All three are doing extremely well in their Christian schools. And they have me come in and play with the kids with dinosaurs. At the end of this, once you all leave, I have some kids here because I want them to see a photograph of a living dinosaur taken in 1977. But I need you old people to go because you won't be able to handle it. I'm saying there's two gospels. The gospel in the Bible and the gospel in looking around us. Heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament, the earth, the mountains, the sea shows his handiwork. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. That's how long the word is going to be settled. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. And that means today, that means as we go into time, that means if Antichrist comes next year on February 17th at 2 p.m., it doesn't matter. I've heard these things all the time. Mm-hmm. Stick with the Bible.
Amen.
Earth, establish the earth and it abideth. Okay. How long will the Bible stand? I hope you can read. And forever is right. God says it more than two places.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the first verse in the Bible, and I've heard so many people work around this. So many people who say they're Christians work around this. I mean, sovereign grace people work around this. So if there was young people here, I would kind of, if I was talking to a general church group, I know you're all saved and well-versed and you don't need anything new, but that was a lie. In the beginning, what did God create? That's a question, right? What two things does he ask us to do to be saved? Did it hit your mind right away? And how do we know there is a God? These are pretty basic questions. So, how do we know he created, or in the beginning, what did God create? He created everything. He created the heaven, the earth, he created you, right?
Amen.
What two things does he ask us to do to be saved? Well, number one, Jesus died for his people and rose from the dead. Number one, turn away from your sins. Number two, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved.
Amen.
Right? And today I'm talking about number three. How do we know there's a God? And there's two ways. The Bible tells us, and the creation around you tells us there's a God.
Amen.
You can't look at some of this stuff and not know all those fossils I have over there. So science can be misleading. I'm trying to explain this to you. So what I'm about to tell you is true. If you don't believe it, I'm going to hurt you. But kidding. All right? There's 1.4 billion people in China, and I did this when I made this when I started before your church. And I might have shown you these slides. These are old slides, so. There's our people in China, 1.4 billion. There were 7 billion on Earth. There's more than that now. But at that point, that was the guy. So this is, I'm going to give you the scientific view of those numbers, okay? Here it is. Hence, one out of every five babies born on Earth are Chinese. It's just a fact. Can't fight it. So believe me, listen to me for the next fact. Conclusion. If you've got four kids and you're pregnant, the fifth will be Chinese.
That's what held me and Terry back on ours.
Science can be misleading. George Wald in 1954, I'm old, I was alive then, but so was Pastor David, so it's okay, said that he got the Nobel Prize. Science. Satan has controlled science for a long time, but there's always a remnant, even in the scientific field. All right? And he said, time is the hero of the plot. Instead of what I said, he needs something to fill in the gaps. He says it is time. Right? And this is after Lyell said the earth isn't young and redid geology. This is after Darwin wrote his book 100 years later. But he got a Nobel Prize. Time, he said, given so much time, like we're talking millions and billions of years, he says the impossible becomes possible. And people believed him, got a Nobel Prize. He said the possible becomes probable. He said the probable becomes virtually certain. One only has to wait. Time itself performs miracles. And that's behind every breath of evolution today.
That's right.
And that's what those men believe, no matter where they are, or what they say, or what you hear. Time's the hero of the plot. They make it up.
Yeah.
With the odds at zero for evolution, godless scientists resort to that, and that's called faith. Mm-hmm. I believe in time. But they still call it science. And the worst part is, people believe them.
Amen.
People believe them. That's evolution right there. And people believe them. Now, you can't just tell people that up front, so you call it science and write a book about it. One has only to wait. Time is the hero of the plot. George Wald. So, there's two views here. One, the earth is billions of years old, and the other, I created the world in 6 days, and you can pick and choose, but I'm telling you right now, Christ rose from the grave, and his resurrection makes the Bible is what he says it is.
Amen.
Which cannot be broken.
That's right.
So, this is a picture of one of Anita's relatives swimming. No, honey, I'm... If George Wald is right, that God, how'd they get there? Time.
There you go.
If you believe in evolution, if you want to believe the newer versions, you got to believe it. Time was enough to give you this scene. And that's none of my relatives. So, scientifically, that's evolution. It's got no meat on its bones. None. Right? So, as far as I'm concerned, Genesis is the beginning of the Bible and not the cross.
Right.
The reason Jesus died is because Adam sinned.
Yes.
And this thing of the headship of Adam and sin passing to all men for all have sinned is incredibly important. It's the reason you need to be saved.
Yes.
It's the reason you sit there dead in trespasses and sins, and unless the Spirit of God opens your ears, you're going to hell. That's how I read the Bible. So if you take away Genesis, the cross falls away. And they know this. I was an evolution teacher. They know this. Destroy Genesis and Christianity's gone. They've said that many times. So I'm going to look at a few sciences. I taught astronomy the last few years, mostly biology and wildlife biology, but I'll just show you a few things. I have talks for all of this, and some of you have gone to your churches. I've never given you this talk because of what happened last week, which, I mean, I'm still blown away. I'm still shaky from what you're about to see. That's good teacher talk to keep your attention, by the way. I'm not a preacher. I can play. Well, that teacher's play. Spurgeon gave jokes. Spurgeon said, you want to get the gospel in, give them something they can smile about and then slip the gospel knife in once the oyster opens up. Amen. So I'm his friend. Okay, that's a comet. They're all the time coming past the earth. The only problem is they have a tail, which means they're burning out. I take a match and it burns out. Comets burn out. There's no way in this world a comet could last millions of years, let alone billions. They burn out, maybe 10,000 years. And yet we have abundant comets, Halley's every 74 years. Sometimes they burn out in our sight. One came in my lifetime into Jupiter and broke apart and hit Jupiter. Do you remember that? But it's not there anymore. So some guy named Oort, an astronomer, said, well, there must be a cloud so far out of baby comets that we'll never be able to see it with any instrument. And it keeps making new comets for us, which explains millions of years. He made it up. They call it now today the Oort cloud, and it's considered solid science. And people will laugh at you if you say, what? Comets make the universe 6,000 years old. Short-lived comets have so little mass that when they pass the sun, they burn up. They can't survive billions of years. Okay, Anita yelled me for putting reading on here, but I'll read it to you. Just relax. This is a non-Christian scientist. Sir Fred Hoyle is the greatest astronomer that has lived in my lifetime. He might be dead by now, but he was considered like a god of evolution. But he was, even as a non-Christian, he was pretty, sometimes are bluntly honest. And here's what he said. He said, science today is locked into paradigms. That means you have a mindset, you have a fence around it, and you won't cross it. It's called being in the flesh, I think. Every avenue is blocked by beliefs that are wrong. Hoyle said this. And if you try to get anything published by a journal today, you have to run up against a paradigm and the editors will turn it down. And there's been a lot of scientists, professors who have, God has saved, and they lose their tenure and they're fired.
Brother Tim.
Yes.
Real quick, didn't one who was not a believer jump off a building because he kept getting rejected with what he knew were true scientific facts, but the evolutionists would not accept it and print it?
That's amazing. I never heard that, but that's the truth.
In Germany, I believe.
That's the truth. Since you say that, my last name's Clifton. I'm part Cherokee, but my Scottish and English is most of my blood. And there's the only Clifton in history is the famous Clifton in England, who was a criminal, and he was locked in the Tower of London at the top floor, and he got it to the edge of his window, and he dove and made it to the Thames River and escaped. That's where I come from. It's not a good one, it's true. I don't tell people, I tell them the Cherokee part. The silent embarrassment of modern astrophysics, here's another non-believer, is that we do not know how even a single one of these stars managed to form. And that made Science Magazine. And by the way, if you teach science, you hear this stuff all the time. There's some honest non-Christian scientists who say stuff like this. Don't be fooled by what you hear, folks. The Bible's real, cover to cover. Amen. And Genesis is true. And the gospel of creation has led many people to ask God, if you're real, show me. Yeah. And what if you're not saved here right now? You want to be a tower jumper? Do you want to ask God that honest request? Sir, if you're real, would you show me? This is my third, final astronomy slide. There's this new Webb telescope, and we're going to see the Big Bang. We're finally going to get a telescope out there so far that we can see near the edge of the universe, and we'll see the Big Bang. Because the Big Bang, there was nothing, and then there was something, and then there was gas, and then the gas made stars, and then the stars started to come together and made galaxies, and then somewhere along the line, Milky Way got made. And life popped into existence by chance. And they're going to prove it with this telescope. We're going to see the edge of the universe, and we're going to see the Big Bang stuff. There won't be any big stars. We might even see past the gas. So there should be gas out there, and then maybe some forming stars. The only elements you're going to see there is the light ones, hydrogen, helium, maybe lithium. They're very light elements, right? And you can tell by their color signature from the telescope what's out there. You can see if there's heavy elements. And so predictions of this first picture, this is the first picture. It says, the deepest edge of space ever seen will have cooler, poorly formed galaxies with lighter elements. And the Bible says the deepest edge will be the same as the rest because it was all made at once. Amen. That, and then what did it finally see? Well, here's the first picture. James Webb, first picture of the farthest ever filmed, found thousands of fully formed spiral galaxies, hot and heavy, and the same as the rest of the universe. Amen. Almost like it was made in one day. How could that be? It could be because God's bigger than us. We can't even know Him. He's beyond our thinking. You're less than an ant in His sight. You're not even a bacteria. The Big Bang! I had a laser to do that. Okay, let's go on. The same as the rest of space. And by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of His mouth. And I know that because Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Amen. And I prayed an atheist prayer. I'll give my testimony. God, if you're real, would you show me? Somebody challenged an atheist teacher, evolution. If he'd pray that prayer, I didn't for a long time. I didn't want to know there wasn't a God. I always planned as I was dying to ask to be saved so I'd go to heaven in my last breath. Well, my last breath came. A letter from God. I'll just read verse 8 in Colossians. It says, we receive Christ rooted and picked and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware, verse 8, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Folks, that's evolution, and that's the new corrupt Westcott and Hort Bibles. And God is real, and there's a remnant. Amen. And you're a warrior. You're not a seat sitter. Believe. Get real. And you know what? You say, I'm shy. Ask God. I think I was shy once. Let me talk about me, how God saved me. That's my family. Daniel's getting married out in Washington State, so we all drove across the country. We saw these buffalo in Yellowstone. Noah went in the Air Force, fell away from God in Alaska. Very bright with computers, so is Seth. They hired Seth back from the Marines to do computers. And they asked him to come back for a year on an ocean trip, and they'll pay half of his debt, and they have a wife with three babies now. And we're talking about what to do with the babies. I kind of want to keep them in my house, but... that's our house there, and the geese in my backyard. And how did God save me? Well, early on, I believed what Bill Nye believed. And he became the head evolutionist, God-hater of astronomy today. He's the spokesman. When Ken Ham wants somebody to tour his ark, he took him. Right? What changed me? And into a person that believes I'm looking at God's handiwork. And here's the deal. I was in kindergarten. I was in a basement somewhere. And I don't remember what if it was church or some other school. But they sent us down to do the clay work. And they said, make an animal. And they gave me some clay. And I'd been to church. It was a Disciples of Christ church when I was a kid. And there was a picture of Jesus knocking on a door in a garden on this wall. And I look at it. Now, then I got convicted that God says doesn't want any images of himself. We don't make statues. And I agree, we don't make pictures. We don't make anything at the likeness of God. But that doesn't change my testimony. I saw that picture. He looked friendly to me. He had long hair. And you guys, do you understand that long hair first picture of Jesus with a little cleft in his beard was the Pope's son around in the 1400s? And all the cuts, stone carvings, and anything from first century Jesus' time, the Jewish men didn't have long hair. He was a Jewish man. The rabbis might have had some things like this, but they did not have long hair. So whenever you see Jesus with long hair, you're looking at a Roman Catholic fake. And so there's this new TV show, Jesus. I forget it. The Chosen. And he's going around to talk shows representing Christianity today. And on the set, the photographers on the set, on their camera, as they're filming The Chosen, have a little homosexual flag flying with all the different rainbow colors. And I remember, who is the Scottish Presbyterian guy I love? Paisley. Who was his student? South Carolina?
Alan
Carnes. And one day I heard his sermon on the Second Commandment. I was living in northern Pennsylvania. And he said the kind of things I just said to you, but he just said, do you love God? And he had to repent of that. And I remember I started crying, and I got my face in my floor in my little office, and I begged God to let me follow the Bible. And I had all these pictures of Jesus. I had a silver statue, solid silver of Jesus. It's Catholic. And I remember breaking it apart in pieces and throwing it into a dumpster at a gas station. Because God's more important than money. So I made a little elephant, kindergarten. I was looking at it and I was admiring it. And I'd thought about church and looked at the elephant. I looked out that window in the basement, sunlight coming through. And little kindergarten, or however I was, old Timmy said out the window, God, would you let me follow your path? I meant it. I had a sincere heart. And after that, I don't know when God saved me, but I know I was sealed right then and there. Because every time I fell in my life, he picked me back up again. Here I am. Now that's me when I was a young science teacher. And one of my girl students see that, if I show this to them, they think I look like Elvis Presley.
Sideburns.
And I'd sing, y'all, you ain't good, but I won't do that though. And so some radio preacher one day, working for the forestry in the summer, and I was riding home in my van empty, and some preacher says, why don't you pray the atheist prayer? Now, I'm an adult. God, if you're real, would you show me? He said, you got to be real about it. I was afraid to pray it. I didn't want there wasn't a God. I kind of didn't want that. I didn't want to follow him, but I didn't want that. Well, one day, finally, I prayed it, driving down the road alone. God, and I meant it. If you're real, show me. I wanted a good earthquake or anything. Lightning would have been good. Nothing. 3 months later, I'm hunting raccoon. I was a trapper. I'm a teacher still, and my buddy John comes up from downstate or Pennsylvania or somewhere, and he says, Timmy, let's go out coon hunting tonight. We're going to be rich. That sounded good to me. So, I don't have dogs. We don't have dogs. He says, you don't need dogs. You need two flashlights. Now, this is a true story. How? He said, all you do is, they're so attracted to lights, it's like a magnet to them. They're a coon magnet. They'll always come to them, especially two. And you just walk through slow and listen together. So we walk through this low bottom on the river, Pine Creek. I'm getting all these thorns and bleeding. And John, let's go up to the white pine forest above that field. We go up to the white pine forest, and we can easy walk, and we're in the middle of the nowhere, in the dark, two lights, and I hear some deer over here. And he heard it too. He says, Timmy, coon. It's coon because of lights. And yes, John, sure. He says, just stand here. Just keep moving your light. He turned his light off, went around the sound. And I just, duh, hi, coon. I'm standing there, and all of a sudden his light came on, and seven raccoon treed between the two of us up seven different trees. Seven. And they were paying $50 a piece that year. I was a rich man. I had a .22 Ruger pistol, 6-inch barrel, and I had a .22 long chamber in it, and I took the first coon and I shot it, and it fell down on the ground, and it died in front of me, kind of like that. And I say that because what happened to me minutes later. So John says to me, Timmy, can I take your gun for the second coon? Yeah, sure, John. He had never shot it. He'd never touched that gun. So second coon, whenever I shot, they all squealed. And he's holding the gun up. In white pine, there's a lot of needles, and you can't see through them easy. And he says, Timmy, it's in the wrong place. I can't get a shot. I says, I'll crawl up. I wanted to be Tarzan when I grew up. And I'll shake the tree, and it'll come into the trunk. And when it comes in, you shoot it. So I crawl up the tree 15, 20 feet, and I shook the trunk. And the coon came right to me. I mean, just right down to me. He was that far away. He wasn't going to attack me. He just wanted to get a better footing. And he says, okay, got a shot. I look down to John. I'm looking down the barrel of my gun with his finger pressing the trigger. Looking down the barrel. And he'd never shot it. And we're that far apart. Can you make a 6-inch mistake with a .22 pistol? I freaked out. So I stepped down pretty hard with this foot. White pine, dead, heavy. And when that one broke, all three of these broke, and I fell down 15, 20 feet and hit the ground sitting down and instantly broke my back. And L2, 3, and 4 were gone. I lost 20% of each one. But anyway, you can't breathe. And I laid there like that coon died. I laid there dying. Like that. John comes over like a movie. Like I saw this in Westerns. He put my head on his leg, says, Timmy! And I'm there. And finally, I think to myself, if I can get a voice out, I can help my family. And finally, some air came. And I said, tell my family I love Jesus. I barefaced lied. But I knew it would sound good at the funeral. He's in a better place. I did that. And instead of dying, by the way, I've told every class this I've taught. As I shared Christ with them. That's how I can get into kids. Instead of dying, the pain came, and my voice came, and I've never hurt so bad. And insane pain. And he got me out of there. He dropped me a few times, but we got to the bottom. We were arrested, a game warden, 6'6", a gunpoint. Because I couldn't walk. I had to crawl under the barbed wire fences. I'm like just pulling through, and you're a gun at my head. And he had a deputy with a rifle on the side. They had waited there till 2 in the morning because they thought we were hunting coon after midnight. It was a stakeout. And John starts crying, help, he fell, help, help. And Lynn Whipple, the game warden, instantly put his gun, I'm sorry, I've been here forever waiting to arrest you. And they got me to the hospital, sent home, can't walk for 6 weeks at least, wore a girdle. It'll slowly cover. My back hurts right now, but I can live with it. And one of those times I couldn't walk, I crawled out in my trailer down a board like a worm to my living room, bedroom, kitchen, TV. And I watched TV, but I couldn't change the channel. So some Christian talk show comes on, Jim Baker, something like that. But in the end of the show, he had old white-haired ministers preaching, reading the Bible. And some old white-haired minister stood up, took the King James, and started reading Romans 8. And he got to verse 34, and it said, Christ who was dead, yea, rather risen again. When I heard that, I flipped out. God opened my ears at that moment. And there was a God. There was a living God. And Jesus is alive. And I just started crying. I didn't even ask to be saved. Just for half an hour, he's alive. He's alive. And finally, I said, just, you know, military, sir, would you save me? And that's where I'm standing here now. That's how I got saved, the evolution teacher. Christ that died, yea, rather is risen again. And so then I started looking at science in a different way, and I taught a lot of kids. That's a scientist we worked with at the stream. That's a timber rattlesnake. Where I lived, there was plenty of them. People killed them on site in West Virginia. Larry had some near his house, I think. Didn't you say a rattlesnake? When are you? Hey, forget it. Anyway, I worked for the fortress, and they said, Tim, there's a distance. If you never break it, you'll never get bit. And it's about that far. That's where I'm at. That's my distance. And if you're there, they can't nail you. But if you're within there, they shoot out so fast, your eye can't see it coming. I took a balloon one time with a rattlesnake, and I was bumping his face. It was coiled up, ready to strike. And finally, it struck, it seemed, but the balloon didn't break. And I looked at the balloon, and there was two little hot water streams coming out where he went in and out. That was under a second. It was under a half second. The thing about science, Christianity, Jesus, and the Bible is that real science is observable.
Right.
You can see it.
Yes, sir.
If you close your eyes, you can see it again. It's not a ghost. Amen. So I'm getting down now where I want you to see things. That was on the intro. Did dinosaurs have feathers? Is it observable? No. There's not a single fossil on Earth that has a dino feathers. Dinosaurs have scales. They're reptiles. Dinosaurs went in the ark with Noah. He wouldn't have taken the old ones. Dinosaurs had babies. There are thousands of dinosaur sightings in the world since the flood. I talked to a lady this year, a month ago, from Middle West Virginia, who grew up as a New Tribes missionary, little girl in New Guinea. And there are these animals that, when the ladies went down to the river, they ate the children. They had a valley up above. They were like a reptile kind of animal, and they stood on fours, and they were carnivorous. And so the men of the village went up. I just heard this a month ago, and they killed them all. Then she said there was birds. These, not birds, they were reptiles, and they had big teeth. And at night, they would come out and eat whatever they could find. They were flesh eaters. And so the people in that tribe didn't go out at night because of those reptile birds. This is me in a call a month ago. Are they still around? Maybe. But feathers were never observed on dinosaurs. It's a lie. They're related to Horton some way or Westcott. Now, that was astronomy. Let's do geology for a minute. That's me, and I was so heavy then that I took that picture and I compressed it so I looked thinner. Don't laugh. It can happen.
Compress it a little more, brother.
Nita, stop laughing. Is there a pointer on this thing?
No.
Pointer, Anita. This?
Yeah, it was shooting in the corner there.
Yeah, it was over there.
Oh, there was a pointer there?
Yeah.
Oh, here it is. Here it is. Okay, do you see these lines here? In geology, see these lines? Mm-hmm. Here, I'm going from Maryland to PA, and the lines are bent here, but they're not broken. They're not cracked. Can you take a piece of a hard candy and bend it and not break it? A rock's the same exact as hard candy. It's brittle. It's fractal. And you can't have those curves unless it was bent soft. So after the flood, there was massive mountain building here and there in the earth. And there's these faults where the crust goes down, mountains come up. But on every mountain, including Mount Everest, there's untold trillions of ocean bottom fossils. 95% of fossils are shells. They're those little clam things. And I have two rocks. I didn't bring them, but I'm taking too long anyway. How's my time doing, by the way? What do I have?
2:30.
No, what time is it right now?
12:17.
I got 12 minutes.
No, if you need to go to quarter till, brother, if any of y'all need to leave, you're welcome to leave. But
but you kids, I have that dinosaur picture. You stay.
Yeah.
All right.
Tim.
Yeah.
I can't watch a Western, an old Western anymore without seeing on the plateaus out there with water lines.
You did that.
Straight as can be.
And because they're straight as can be, it was a flood. And then the earth, there was one ice age after the flood, and it was warmer, and as it cooled down, the oceans went where they are today. There was tons of room for animals to walk around the continents, and there was log mats thick enough to carry elephants around the world. And things like that. Don't worry about what evolutionists say. They make it up to hate God. There's Mount St. Helens, 1980, I was alive. There was this evolution, young Christian Tim goes to Pittsburgh for an evolution conference. And I met the men who were there, and they talked about this. The whole side of the mountain blew away. I have a captive audience here. All these Christian doctors, pastors, professors were in this Duke University dorms and were sitting down at this round table relaxing at night, and they were telling their stories of things, like that lady saw the reptiles. And these two professors or pastors in California like to cross-country ski. And they were saying to us sitting there, just young Tim just shut up and listen, and they said, we were going through and we saw these huge ape tracks that long in the snow. Now, these are Christians after God saved me. And they, as we cross-country ski, they went up the hill, straight up the hill over. And I heard that from the mouth of Christian men at a Christian conference. And I thought, could there be any animals that are unknown? It's called cryptozoology, cryptids unfound yet. But I heard that from Christians. And then I was teaching in York, Pennsylvania. And two old ladies hit an ape. They called the state police. And they went out, and there was hair in their bumper. And they sent the hair in the bumper to the Pennsylvania Hair Lab and to the biggest one there is in Canada. They got a sample, too. Pennsylvania Hair Lab came back. It was a cow. It hit a cow. And the bigger hair lab came back. It was an ape. Well, that day, my students say, Mr. Clifton, let's follow those tracks. So at the end of school, they pop in my car. We go out. The snow was 2 feet deep that year. That's very rare in York County. And we were driving slow past the paper mill, and there's these tracks. And they're about this far apart. I could barely do it like that. And they're real deep. And the thing that impressed me was the heel went real deep. And I talked to a Bigfoot researcher later. That's what they do. That's what they do. We followed it for about a half a mile. We came home. That was my Bigfoot story. Let's see here. At Mount St. Helens, that middle piece there, I have a light here. Forget it. Just believe me. Need it. Oh, there it is. It's so little. I'm red-green colorblind. This piece here formed in like a few hours. But look at all the flat lines. Mount St. Helens erupted. This volcanic ash flow comes down the mountain and makes that visibly in a day. And that's like the whole thing. Look at the little man down there. It's like the Grand Canyon, but that happened from one volcano. Imagine 1,000 volcanoes. What if there's fountains of the deep get broken apart? What if the earth is covered with heavy everything?
Amen.
Okay. That's the little Grand Canyon that volcano made. Not just that one face I saw, but that happened in hours and days. Turbidites are my favorite. You can see there in the middle how it's rough and medium size and very small than clay size. And when water's running and moving, that sorts itself out like that. Now, if that was true, whatever you find turbidites, it was made by moving water, right? So those are all turbidites in A, Morocco B, Italy, that's in Canada over there. That's where you find a lot of good fossils. If they were moving rapidly, they got covered rapidly. And it shows how you make a turbidite. A significant portion of the earth is turbidites. Geology will be short. Three things. Fossil graveyards. All around the world, there are hundreds of fossil graveyards where everything died being thrown together by water. And so they're all mixed up. Right? Now, the next 5 minutes, I'm going to show you something that forever settles the young earth and the flood, if you want to believe what you see. Those are all dinosaur bones, but one dinosaur didn't die. They were all just washed there and covered. There's another one. Look how many things died at once. They were rushed there by flood water. Look at that one. Shells are 95% are shells, but there's other things in there. What if you got shells and, say, birds in the same thing? What would you say the time issue is there? Would you say it happened in under a year? Geologists would, even non-Christian ones, if you see that. Well, they're all around the world. There's dinosaur bones. The guy doing this said he has 20 tons of clay with mammal fossils in it with the dinosaur bones, but he specializes in dinosaurs. He just saved the clay for somebody else. In other words, there's mammals and dinosaurs. Well, that's not what we're taught. My favorite is the Green River. I had a fossil, Anita, but I didn't bring it. I'm going over time anyway. All these animals, like I have a fish like that. That fossil, is it here in this room? Will you look for it? They were all fossilized like that real quick, perfect, clean fossil. I mean, you can see the fins in the spikes in the fins. And they found every single thing here as a fossil in the same mineral flow, the Green River in Wyoming. There's more. They also found all these in that same flow, fossils. You see that turtle fossil there. There's living clams. Do you know that when clams die, they open up? 95% of the earth has closed clams from Mount Everest to the lowest valleys. Closed clams. They died alive. Dinosaurs were included in that. But so were horses, alligators, frogs, and sea slugs. In one water thing, it was a slurry. It was a flood. That picture proves a flood, by the way. So the big question mark is, how do you get horses and paddlefish in the same fossil bed, side by side? You ever be in a flood? When Johnstown flooded, everything was, every bridge, you got these big log piles with everything in them. It was fun because there might be valuable stuff there you could dig around. And how long did it take? Well, this dinosaur is having a baby. That fossil was found. There's a fish eating another fish, a picture of it, and there's a fossil of a fish that was eating. He died in like 1 second. It was just over. It was over. So this is my Green River fish. I got it for $40. It's probably worth a lot more right now. I got it a long time ago. But there it is. There's my Green River fish. That's Green River mud. And you can see it there. It's just like the fish I just showed you, right? Except there's something wrong with it. You people in the back can't see this, but look real hard. This is the same fossil bed. Look hard. That's not a fish. It's not a fish. It's two fish. And they died so fast, and they were pressed so hard together that they fossilized together. And the only way you know that is there's two tails. You see some pectoral fins here. And two tails, the rest is just one fish. Flood mud. You can't have this. All right, moving on. When you can't breathe, there's a name for this in medicine. It's something, there's a big word that you died struggling for breath. No, it's a different word. And I knew it one time, but I'm afraid of you guys, so I can't remember it now. But look at these dinosaurs dying. They died underwater. They couldn't breathe. And there's many like that. Not two. Most of them. And the dinosaurs are very 99% is not dinosaurs of the fossils. And the ones you see are just, oh, evolution is true. This is insane. So let me teach you a little bit. That's a jellyfish fossil. You can't have a jellyfish fossil over millions of years.
Amen.
You can't have a jellyfish fossil over a month. Because they rot. Did you ever walk along the beach? I touch them. My wife says, don't touch them. There's still stingers in them. I found out. If there's a jellyfish fossil in the rocks, it was a one-time event. And with all those other animals, hello, the Bible's real.
Amen.
How long does it take to make a fossil? Now, I'm not going to show this to you very long because if you look really hard at that picture, you'll see something that I don't want you to see. Okay? Don't tell her. Now, I'm heading now, this is my closing, I'm heading toward what I heard last week. I'm going to beg you to look at on TV. Let's go on. That's called a polystrate tree. In other words, all those layers are flat and the tree's going that way. Now, how long do you think it would take a tree standing up not to rot? I grew up in the woods. You ever see a rotten tree?
Yeah,
you find grubs in to go fishing. They turn soft. Well, how in the world can you have a million years and then the tree's still standing up and then another million and then finally the whole thing's fossilized? Polystrate, more than one strata.
Right.
And so I was invited to an evolution conference, biggest speaker in the country, Mansfield University. And I was a teacher at a local school, so I get to sit with the college professors. And hearing this guy talk, and they make fun. It's all a big joke. And they laugh, and he said, I wore my evolution. He wore some kind of field attire. And we eat lunch, courtesy of Mansfield, and I'm at this round table with like five or six college professors. And I just learned about these. So I'm going to shove them down your throat for a minute for a reason. The ending is, took my breath away. And I said to this guy, what do you think of polystrate trees? He turned away from me with his face. He looked at them. And he said, creation is religion, evolution is science, and they all laughed. That was his answer. And I shut my mouth and I ate my lunch. And I learned something. Seeing they can't see, hearing they can't hear. And you're not talking to people who are thinking of killing you. Some do, I guess, but you're talking to people who are dead in trespasses and sins. And the gospel of Christ is what you have and the life you live. Okay, need it. That's my wife's fault. Okay, pass this around. I paid a guy in Canada $70 for this thing. Because I bought it for 100 Canadian. He said, Tim, just give the money to camp here and I'll pay the guy 70 Canadian, not 100. I offered him 100 for it. And just pass it around. It's very heavy because it's a fossil. I'm going to let him hold it first because he's in a wheelchair. He can't move. You can move. Just, there's a fossil. What do you think?
That's good. You can send it that way.
What do you think? Okay. Now listen, how'd they get made? In England, there's a dripping spring of mineral water, and it drips down over this rock structure, and you get these long stalagmites. And if you hang stuff there, or set them down, let the water hit them, the calcium, and it's very heavy on minerals, iron, in months, turn them into a solid rock. So we'll pass this around, and you're talking a real teddy bear that was fossilized in under a year's time. And don't ever think fossils take millions of years. Don't break that. Neat, I lost my picture. What do I do? What? I got it back. Fossils can form relatively quickly, sometimes as little as in a day. They found miners' hats in old mines that are now stone. All right? They involve rapid burial and the presence of minerals. That's how you make a fossil. That petrified tree in Yellowstone used to be called the petrified forest because they're at all different levels. And there was a sign up there in Yellowstone, this is made over millions of years. They took the sign down because of the things I'm telling you right now. They said Mount St. Helens did the same thing in that one eruption in that lake, Spirit Lake. The trees all landed with a root ball. The roots are gone, but there's dirt on it. So they landed down like that. And as the mud came, there were different levels, and they were all sticking up. In Mount St. Helens Lake in 1980. The word eisegesis is a neat word. It's the practice of interpreting the text in the Bible by imposing one's own ideas, own biases, own interpretations, rather than deriving your meaning from the text itself. That's eisegesis. It's a word we don't use much. It's essentially reading into a text rather than drawing out of the text. Anything you've heard about evolution from anything close to Christianity is eisegesis. Every word of God is pure. Don't add. So I'm going to keep showing these fossils because the thing I saw last week has to do with polystrate trees. Okay? People have added to God's word starting in Genesis. And here's this, the majority of church leaders today in Christianity, the number I've heard is like 3/4 of Christian pastors. Some are saved, they'll be in heaven, believing in old earth because they think science knows more than God. And there's some of the smartest men in the world believe that God did all the brain work for the millions of years. But Genesis is allegorical. The word day, like in first day, second day of Genesis chapter 1, is used over 2,000 times in the Old Testament. And the only time it's questioned as day is in Genesis. All right, that's Michael Reeves, or David Reeves, I mean, and he has that near his place. It's just, look at the layers. That's polystrate tree. I'm going to show it over and over because when you get to the AI thing, it's going to be quick. The issue of the age of the earth is central to what has happened in Christianity. And the attack on the Bible's literal interpretation in the 1700s was accepted by most Christians. The words most. So you guys are weird. You're a stinking remnant. Stand fast. Amen. That's what Jesus says. Yes. Stand fast. Who then redefined the Bible, eisegesis, according to men's theories, and it's fallible. When you start with man-made death before sin, you get compromised positions. And so you can have the Bible and a global flood, or you can have millions of years, and you have to decide what's true because it's eisegesis. And everything you've heard is made up. Everything. I taught it. Many big-name pastors, teachers, I listed a few, Christians who believe the earth is millions of years old, not literal, and here's some of them. But if it's like 3/4 of Christianity in America or anywhere near that, that's a small list. There's just some reform men in there that I've studied. Andy Stanley's the worst. Need and I are watching TV. I like Charles Stanley. He had some good sermons for me. And Andy was in front of this church. He has these satellite churches, biggest church in America. And he said the Old Testament doesn't count. With his mouth, Nita and I heard it. And the cross is, he said, what we study in this church, what we love in this church is the cross. And he showed a cross. Everybody clapped. Billy Graham, Francis Schaeffer, I read him. Some of these are dead. Sproul, Piper, Old Earth. They believe the lie like it's true because it's so pervasive. And they're deceived. Polystrate trees. Let's meet. This is my closing. That's AI, okay? And he can make the hologram or just listen to the AI talk. Generation 4, this is the highest AI there is. This is 1 week old, okay? And the title of this, please go look at it if you can. I convinced Grok the biblical flood really happened using science. And the Answers in Genesis in Canada is different than Ken Ham's. They're different organizations. They have the same kind of bylaws and stuff, but this guy is good. Yes?
I heard him speak in Cornwall. He's very good.
I can't believe it. When I hear him, I just glued to him. He not only says...
And he gives a lot of scripture, too.
Yes, he does.
And he gives the gospel. It's not just science.
And he's happy, and he's a good teacher.
Amen.
Okay, that was your plug. And he points out that Elon Musk made this statement that this Grok surpasses all PhDs in their field simultaneously. In other words, every bright person on Earth is not as smart as this computer program you're about to see. And if you turn it, go home and look at it here, you'll hear the whole thing. It's better than what I'm going to show you. It's like 15 minutes or something. And so now, ask it to stick to strict logic, mathematical probability, and observational science every time. If you ask that computer that, it will, by its program, give you that. It's got to be observational, or don't tell me about it. You understand that? And so he also asked for strict logic, you know, real, not just made-up fairy tale stuff like most Christians believe, and mathematical probability. Well, we saw the odds are zero, two and two being five. So we begin. I was in a McDonald's doing this. It's brand new. Every fossil to prevent decay requires rapid and complete burial. And indicating a rapid event rather than slow processes. And this is Grok saying this, who will say to you every time the Earth is millions of years with slow processes if you don't give it specific instructions to be observational. Be strictly observational. All right? Let's go on. And then the AI says, last week, they'll take this off the air probably, but the flood model's rapid deposition, according to the smartest computer on Earth, according to Elon Musk, better than all the scientists alive, it says the flood model aligns better with the fossil evidence, which I've just shown you. I spent my hour here showing you this. Observational science, Grok, would require polystrate trees from the bottom to top to be buried at the same time. Well, there's my embarrassment at the professor table, isn't it? They're wrong. I shook when the computer said this. And each needs rapid burial to avoid decay and scavenging. End of story. The Bible's true. There was a flood. Jesus died for our sins that our father Adam committed in Genesis. It all comes together. And then Grok says, that's their current geology where Lyell, you can't talk God. They call it materialistic evolution. It has to be something you can be here. It can't be something you can imagine, some make-believe God. But Grok says has no validity in observational science. Folks, whether you're in science or not, that statement is staggering. Observational science supports the Word of God.
Amen.
Jesus is alive. Yeah. Jesus rose from the dead. The flood model, Grok, aligns better with the fossil evidence. Because you it was instructed only to talk observational, not current thinking. AI would tell me, first-time users, that 2 plus 2 is 5. However, because it aligns with what is widely taught. Grok said that too. Doesn't matter if it's true or false, it'll say it if it's what's widely taught. That's why AI is dangerous. But if you pick it like he did and say, here's the parameters, it says the Bible's true. Oh, why would I want to talk today? Because the Bible's true. The Bible he talked about.
Amen.
Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. That's a promise from a friend of mine.
Yes. Amen.
In the beginning was the Word. John 1:1. John 1:3. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made.
Amen.
All things. And down in John 1, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Big bang. By the way, to have a big bang, you have to have a balloon and have to have air. You can't do it from nothing. Even though my laser broke. Martha comes to Jesus, and he's going to raise Lazarus in a few minutes. And she says, but Lord, he stinketh in there. I love that, he stinketh. And he says, oh no, come back in the resurrection, she said to Jesus. And to me, that's my favorite verse in the entire Bible. If I can talk to you, you're going to hear my verse. Jesus said to looked at her with love. And Jesus said to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. She says, he'll come back in the resurrection. Jesus says, I am the resurrection. He's real. And science is his work. Real science. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Believest thou this? Do you believe that? What if you're sitting here and you've not heard this kind of stuff? It's clear that science is bogus and made up. And we're told it's true. Every TV place, schools, public schools are cesspools of hell. I promise you that. I work there. Not just evolution, but sodomy. They don't call it that. Not much more to say. So that's my two gospels. The gospel of Jesus Christ, who died for our sins and was buried and rose again the third day. In the gospel of creation that shows he's real.
Amen.
Now, I have this dinosaur picture, of a true picture of a dinosaur to show the young people. And so you can file out if you want, because I need another 2 minutes with them. That was said on purpose, hoping you'd stay. I'm done. Okay? End of program. In Loch Ness in Scotland, that fuzzy picture was taken with an underwater camera. What do you think, guys?
Dinosaur.
Where's my other little boy? There, what do you think? Do you see that? Does it look like something you know? What dinosaur would you say that is? What would you say it is? Do you ever hear of a plesiosaur? A long neck? Okay. Okay, that's not the picture I want to show you. In New York State, there's a big lake between Vermont and New York. The Indians said there's a creature living in there. In fact, a family of them. And in 1977, a lady saw it. A whole boatload of tourists saw it. Police saw it. And so I'm going to show you that picture. Now, she was on the shore, but it came from her camera. And I lived in Alaska, and during Vietnam, I was sent to Alaska. And we had an Eskimo friends. And one of our Eskimo friends, who was a bank teller, had a mother who, when the Japanese came over, they were loud in the Aleutians, her parents said, you get under the floorboards. And she heard the Japanese come into their Native American village and hut, and they killed her parents, everybody dead, except she was hiding in the floorboards. And her daughter was our friend, and we got to meet this old lady. And both of them said, there's a creature like that in Lake Iliamna in Alaska, which is across the bay from Anchorage. And all the natives will tell you it's there. Lake Baikal in Russia, the fishermen there will say there's a creature like that living there. Not just Loch Ness. And there's places, other places around the world. There's things alive that are hidden from you because they might match a young Earth. And maybe they're all dead. But 1977, something was in that picture, since a whole boatload of tourists saw it. That would be my final slide for the young people. And thank you for coming. Beware lest any, repeating, beware lest you're spoiled through philosophy and vain beliefs. And the biggest vain belief in the world today is evolution. Or sodomy. I guess you can pick one of the two. Will you close in prayer?